Census 1234 invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Wayne Hope.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Get This. It's me, Tony Martin. Ed's here in his brown three-piece corduroy suit. And let's have a big round of applause for Wayne Hope. Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for coming in, Wayne.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's just delightful to be here.
Actor Wayne Hope.
Yeah. That's correct. Thank you very much. That's an appropriate beginning.
Now, look, you know, people obviously, some people know you from the McAuliffe program. Excellent work over the years. You've been in every Australian drama.
Yes.
I hope this doesn't offend you, but whenever I have to describe you to someone, I always go, the Kerrigan brother in jail from the castle. And they know instantly who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. I like to, when I get the recognition factor, as people look at you in the supermarket and go, I know that guy. And you go, yeah, I think it's, have you seen much Shakespeare at the State Theatre Company? And they say, no, it's not that. Have you seen? And eventually it gets down to either your parents have a copy of the castle or you watched a bedding commercial last year.
But
and
how
I
long
slink away with my ego back through the checkout.
But you know, that's a kind of a compliment, because how long are you
in what way, Tony? Well, just run that through, because I really need that.
I don't reckon you're in the castle for longer than 1 minute. Would that be fair to say? I've never got the stopwatch out, but you must be in it for 45 seconds.
Why is time an issue, Tony?
No, I'm saying that you've made an impression.
Well,
it's a compliment.
Right. But I'm shocked that, you know, suddenly we have to time how famous we are.
Someone could call us in by the end of the program and tell us how long Wayne Hope is on screen in the castle, that would be very handy.
We'll give you a prize.
Yeah, will we?
Yeah.
We'll let you come in and touch Ed's suit.
Stroke. He prefers
or
a stroke.
I'll give them a VHS copy of the castle, which I've pulled out of the cupboard the other day. I'm giving to St. Vinny's, because there's, you know, the VHS player's gone and it's just DVDs now. You can have that.
All right, that's right. Sweet. But look, let's talk about some of your other work. You mentioned bedding commercials. You're one of the few people who's ever actually made me laugh in an ad, because if you want to see the worst comedy acting in the world, watch the ads. That's what I always say.
And now you're going to link that to me.
Yeah, I'm going to link. No, I'm going to say, what was that one where you were preparing something and you spilled something and it all exploded? And what was that for?
That was from my soup series of commercials.
But they were great.
They were funny.
Because it felt like they just let you improvise a bit. Normally there's about 17 clients and the art director and everyone's got an idea of what's funny and can you do it again and again and again and again and again until it's not funny anymore.
It's true, until you're angry at them.
That's right.
You're angry, you're sitting there as an actor and you're furious being on. For those people that don't know, the world of advertising is like no other whatsoever.
No.
Thousands of people turn up to justify their pay on the day, and people feel the need to make a comment. Like, when you lift the glass up, can your pinky finger just be at the bottom of the glass, not wrapped around it? Because it looks a bit aggressive.
Yeah, and there was another ad for something else where the finger was like that, so if you could have it slightly higher funnier too at the same time.
Yeah, that's the great thing, is people say, it's a bit funnier when you sip it like that.
Because you funny it up a bit,
yeah.
I did a fast food ad.
Right.
And the director said, oh, look, it's going to be fine, just the burger eating is going to take ages. And I laughed. 24 takes of burger eating later.
So right.
I wasn't laughing.
You wouldn't be complaining about that, though.
No, I might.
Continuously.
God, I've just watched the man eat 19 Vitabrits. A burger commercial would just be paradise.
No, I didn't want to eat the burger, so he taught us how to mime. So you just sort of, you know, chew it with your lips, and I didn't take one bite all day.
That's all right.
The man with the mayonnaise gun. There was a man there whose job was just had a mayonnaise gun, and he would come in and shoot mayo when it was appropriate.
Was it an ad or an erotica film? What was it you were doing, Ed?
Bring in the mayo gun. That sounds like somebody's porno name. Okay, have we got anything more to say? No, look, the ad. What was the ad? Because that was really funny. Did they just let you do what you want in that ad?
They did. It was surprising. I think the person in charge of the client, as they call them, the client, turned up, and I think she was just more delighted, got more involved with the catering on the day than what the ad was being.
Right,
and just
went,
yeah, do what you like, and just kept eating and laughing and going nuts. So they just said improvise and talk. So I flicked soup around the kitchen and mumbled away. I've just shot some more a couple of weeks ago and up at the Hawkesbury River and had a ball again.
An actual comedy resulted. So well done.
Thank you.
And now look, we've got more stuff to talk about, because Wayne Hope, is in fact married to Robin Butler. Is that true? Is that true?
There is a rumour going around, plus the fact that she's talked about our marriage in depth for the last 3 years.
So. And so because she's on the show with Mick Malloy, I'm here with you. It feels like some bizarre wife-swapping program already. But we want to go into more detail about that in just a moment on Get This. Oh, yes, that'd be a bit of smash mouth here at Get This right around the nation on Triple M. We've got Wayne Hope, actor Wayne Hope, with us.
I hope my mum's listening.
Someone has listened to this, apparently, Wayne, because Wayne is married to Robin Butler, mm-hmm. co-host of Tough Love. Apparently, on Tough Love yesterday, Wayne, they were talking about dreams mm-hmm. because Robin dreamt she slept with Mick in the front window of Maya.
Yes, well, what they don't know is that I was the person lying next to her while she was having the dream.
Really?
Of fornicating with her co-host.
And took full advantage, did you?
Look, you know, Mick's ego may have been massaged, but somebody was getting the real McCoy at the other end, let me tell you.
Well, I mean, what is it like?
Did she say that? See, I thought she was brave waking up and telling me that over breakfast. Then she goes on air and talks about it.
Yeah. What is it like when she comes home from work after a session with Mick Malloy? I mean, a session on the program, obviously.
Oh, look, it's hard. I mean, she is the tough in the team. And when she comes home, yes, it's just more of the same kind of ranting and aggressive behaviour that she continues to do during the show.
Let's talk a bit more about acting. Oh, no, look, we've got to get to serious news because people have been complaining we haven't been covering some of the big stories.
It's true.
Have they? With the seriousness they deserve. And the IR law is, of course, a big story. Did you see this? This was in the Sydney Telegraph, I think on Friday, about a woman who was sacked by an airline over her looks, Brooke Ogden. 27-year-old was sacked as a check-in attendant for budget airline Jetstar for looking too gothic.
Wow.
Ooh, have a look at that.
Is there a picture? How gothic?
It just doesn't look too gothic to me.
That's not gothic.
It looks really normal. But then her looks were clearly not a problem for KFC, who had used her as the face of its Twister Wraps campaign.
Wait. What's her name?
Her name's Brooke Ogden. Do you?
Can I have a look?
So she's done a fast food ad, so you probably know her. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. So gothic looks are unacceptable. You know, you can have your face baked a terracotta orange, but a bit of dark lippy might freak the passengers out. Does that work?
Terracotta orange.
And there's another, I think I've marked on that article another sacking.
Of course you have.
So that's someone who's been sacked since the IR laws have been introduced. They've obviously been trying to get rid of her for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, and they've used that as the excuse.
And then we've got a Garbo sacked from a curbside waste collection.
Makeup again?
The wrong lippy.
Wrong lippy.
On the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a lot of people are, I mean, I don't actually...
What did he get sacked for?
It doesn't say. He just got sacked via text message.
Oh.
So that's pretty ruthless. That's and, you know, do you understand, have you read the 7,000-page document on the IR laws, Wayne?
I flicked through it.
Yeah. Bit of a browse?
I browsed through it. There's so much to get through at the moment. There's reports left, right and centre. Mm. I flicked through the IR. It was good reading.
Yeah.
they still continue to make it just enjoyable coming out of Canberra. Any big document that they produce. I love the way they pounce on it when they release something like that. And you see all the reporters grabbing these fat documents.
That's right. Yeah.
Going, yeah, well, that 2 seconds it took you to grab that, and then you're going to read 7,000 pages really quickly.
And then get it down to, you know, something tidy for
soundbite.
A soundbite. But, it seems to me, I've read, you know, the version that's been in the Murdoch newspapers. Seems that there's basically 2 points to it.
Mm.
It's much easier to sack people.
Mm-hmm.
And John Howard says the laws are necessary to maintain economic growth. So, therefore, the more people we can sack, better off we'll all be.
We're going to
so
be.
True.
It's brilliantly simple when you think about it.
Yeah, we've spent all this time trying to employ people.
And it's just been going
bloody
down the wrong,
stupid,
foolish path.
Yeah. Decades of employment initiatives, rubbish.
Wasted.
So I think, you know, let's see if we can help the economy along. Let's see if we can hit 100 sackings nationwide by the end of Get This Today.
Nice.
Should we do that? Let's see how many we've got already. We've got, obviously, the woman sacked for her looks. We've got the Garbo sacked by text message. There was the 3 cabinet makers in Melbourne last week. According to the Australian, 10 more cabinet makers. It's quite annoying, really. The four hotel housekeepers on the Sunshine Coast lost their job as a result of the new IR laws. We had the nine workers at a cable company in Melbourne. This one's really going to hurt. You might want to take your headphones off for this one, guys. 29 workers at a New South Wales... I'm taking them off.
I'm sorry. I'm not coming back.
My brain.
Oh, I could never.
It's done. It's done.
I'm sorry to anyone driving. Wow. That's very painful. That's how painful the new IR laws are, Australia.
What are we up to?
That comes to 57, so we need another 43.
Okay.
People sacked by the end of the show.
Come on, Australia.
we'll accept full sackings.
Dig deep.
Or sacked and rehired on vastly inferior conditions, which seems to be a popular move.
All right. Yes. Let's call it sport and we'll go nuts for it.
Okay. You know, that's a little bit unpleasant. I have to say that's slightly soured the atmosphere of the program.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to have something pleasant to kind of redress the balance?
Oh, yeah.
Mind. Here's a great story I found in The Who magazine. Charlize Theron, fantastic quote from her. Mm-hmm. I love clothes, but as soon as I get home, I strip off and have naked time around the house.
Wow.
Let's just all picture that for a moment, shall we? Are we all getting a mental picture of that?
Yes. Oh,
Charlie's having naked time around the house.
Oh, just another lap, just around the kitchen, and something out of the freezer.
Oh. Does Robin come home to a bit of naked time after a session with Mick?
Rarely is there clothing on in the house. There she goes.
So perhaps you've been sacked as a result of the IR laws, but if it's happened, just picture Charlize having naked time. Here at Get This. That's talk from Coldplay here at Get This right around the nation. Have we been receiving calls, Ed?
Yeah. So far, so good. Well, actually, the only call that I took was that someone saying that those 29 workers from Cowra got their job reinstated because they couldn't get sacked yet.
Right, okay.
But the intent was there.
So they would have got a lot more money and vastly better conditions, I'm sure.
Exactly.
They got rehired.
Oh, limos each.
A meat tray.
Now, I did take a call from a lovely man called Brett Thomas, who has timed Wayne's appearance on the castle.
It's Wayne Hope co-hosting this morning.
Brett, get up, get out, put some clothes on and make something of the day. Yeah. You can't be doing that.
What's he come up with?
He said 1 minute and five, Wayne
Hope.
One minute
and 5 seconds.
And that counts for talking and just shots of.
Because that's right. The elephant shot as well, Brett, has that all been included?
The photo, actually, when you're in the photo at the end. Is that counting?
Actually, I don't know. I'll probably take another call. Thank you, Wayne.
Right, okay. We're getting to the big issues. You know, because William Hurt, did you see that film, History of Violence?
Yeah.
How good was Hurty at the end of that?
Best. He's the best.
He was fantastic. How long do you reckon?
About 7 minutes.
Felt like he was in it for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it was probably just 1 minute and five.
He came out.
See, it feels, you know, it looks just like seven, but... I mean, that's the thing about acting. The skill is in making it feel like 7 minutes.
Oh, so Hurdy might have only been on there for about 2 minutes.
He was only 1 minute five. Exactly.
Is that
the same
right?
As the castle.
Wow. He came out, he had a bizarre beard, he poured a drink, he said about three things to Viggo Mortensen, bang, Oscar nomination.
Yep, got shot.
And it was, thanks very much, Ed.
Oh, what?
Thanks for just spoiling the end of the film for people who haven't seen it.
Oh, sorry.
But did he survive?
Ooh.
That's what you need to
did
know.
Did he come back as a ghost?
Come back as a ghost. Well, this would be the studio to do it, of course. It is the haunted studio. Now, look.
Oh, this is the one we've had all the problems.
Yeah. There's been nothing but trouble in this studio.
Mainly due to me trying to work the panel.
Yeah.
Actually.
And that's now, there's a cloud. There's a fitness cloud hanging over whether Ed will actually ever be able to panel this show.
Oh, come on.
Well, he's got to master that, you know, what looks like a old taxi from 1984 sitting on the other
exactly
side of
it. That's exactly what it looks like. The bear is sitting behind the panel of an old Kingswood.
Yes.
Belting it with...
And there's an old 202 Kingswood engine under there just billowing smoke.
And chugging along.
Going as hard as it can.
Serious issues. That's what you want to talk about. The wheat board, wheat gate. Have you been following that?
I don't recall anything
Here's
to do with that.
Motor.
What was it?
You weren't informed of that, were you?
That's our new. That should just be our government's catchphrase. We don't recall.
What are you referring to, Tony? Is it with the what? The what board?
That's what most people I know are saying.
No,
most people don't want to know about this. Is a this letter to the 50-50 column in the Melbourne Herald Sun yesterday pretty much sums up the attitude of everyone I know towards Wheatgate. Memo to the ABC and the federal opposition. Nobody cares about AWB kickbacks, so please, pretty please, with sugar on top, move on, says Adam Power of West Meadows.
Wait, have you, you've just given him an old person's accent.
That's I have.
You don't know
he's
old.
He's old in some way in that brain of his.
Adam Power. But it is true. Most people just don't want to know. They just go, you know.
They're wheat intolerant.
They're going.
They went gluten-free ABC.
Who's been voted off Dancing with the Stars? That's all we really want to know about. We don't understand, and I don't understand. I was very interested in the whole wheat board business when Trevor Flugie was headlining, when there was a lot of Flugie talk. Flugie Nights, that's what I think they should call the movie of Wheatgate. But I was watching the Four Corners last night. I'm going, come on, give us some Flugie. Flugie, of course, the topless bloke with the gun in his hand, if you haven't been following it closely. Yeah. And I couldn't make it. It was just, there was no Flugie talk, so I switched over to something more mindless. did you stick with it, Wayne?
I watched it to the Flugie end. I think Flugie's going to feature big time. But you're right, it's not sexy. Without Flugie, there's nothing sexy about the wheat board. It's just, you know, I'd rather look at a packet of Weet-Bix for, you know, that's how exciting it is.
Ed's drooling, you've mentioned
Weet-Bix. There he goes again.
He's drooling on his brown corduroy suit. But you're right. This is my attitude to it is, don't blame it on the wheat board. Don't blame it on the PM. Don't blame it on Saddam. Blame it on the Flugie. That should be the theme song to the movie that they eventually
Would
do.
Would you sing it and release that theme
song? I'd do that. I'd just sing it all day. I sing it in the car.
You should play, Trevor.
No, Mick Malloy's going to play it. He's got this fantastic T-shirt he's been giving away at his shonky week on his program. Yeah. And it's just his head on the top of Trev Flugie's body. Look, there, we've covered Wheatgate.
Thank you.
That's pretty much pins down on that topic.
Very serious.
And we did mention Ed panelling the show. Is he up to it? Well, we're about to go to an ad break. And Ed, do you want to do? You can fire it off.
Check it out. All right. Okay, look.
No.
Hang on.
More chug.
Give him a chance.
More chug.
That is the button.
Oh, dear. We're currently experiencing technical difficulties on Triple M. Frankly, you'd think they'd have it sorted out after that cock-up the other day. I mean, honestly, it's pathetic. Still, it does give me the opportunity to lay down some pretty fancy guitar licks. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, hold it up to my ear. Nah, Dobbo, mate, I'm playing guitar under the breakdown announcement. Check it out. Yeah? Well, no, this is the kind of music they use under a... Okay, it's just coming up to a good bit, but... No, you're in charge. Jesus. We're currently experiencing technical difficulties on Triple M. Get this.
I've never heard of Nickelback.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Oh, yes, that's more like it for breakdown announcement music right there. It's Get This on Triple M right around the nation. Wayne Hope, actor Wayne Hope, is here. We're going to talk theatrical disasters next. Would you have any of those, Wayne?
Only about 84.
We'll get to them all. That's Van Halen. And this is Get This on Triple M. Around the country with Ed and myself, Tony Martin. Wayne Hope is sitting in with us, actor Wayne Hope. Mm-hmm. How are you enjoying yourself, Wayne?
I'm having a ball.
Are you just?
Goodness me, the energy in here is incredible.
It's energy powered entirely by national sackings because people have been calling us up. We're trying to get 100 people sacked by the end of the program because that will help the economy.
Massively.
That's what the Prime Minister's telling us. What about, did you mention Cast of Blue Heelers? Have they all been sacked?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, add them to the total, I think. There you go. Although that's going to hurt.
Yeah, ouch.
maybe stop.
Matt Thomas had a few in it.
What other big stories? I tell you what, diabetes is on the increase in Australia.
It is.
And the worst thing is, every time you hear about a diabetes increase, it's bad news for a fat bloke walking up the street. because you might see yourself on the news that night just from the neck down. Have you noticed that?
I always wonder that. Do they have to walk up to those people afterwards and get them to sign a release?
If your head's not in shot, does that mean you know about this, Wayne, acting-wise? Is that a performance?
Credits? If I was asked, I would certainly approach it seriously and not, you know, it's not just any walk. I want to highlight the problems with being large.
Yeah.
The struggle in the walk would be apparent. But they are changing the law. So now they don't have to pixelate people's heads.
Right.
The new privacy laws, yes, is one of the things. See the technical term there, one of the things, that's what they say.
Yes, right.
Legislate in Canberra. Mr. Speaker, one of the things.
I don't recall my own name, Your Honour.
No, nothing that. Do you know he said that 45 times in his statement, Mark Vaile? 45 times, I don't recall. I don't know. I wasn't told.
He should have just had on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's my answer.
Yeah. Said, look, let's make this short and sweet. Read this.
But, yes, so, you know, I just noticed that last night on the news. They obviously just send camera crews out every time there's diabetes in the news and get as many fat blokes walking up the street just from the neck down.
And people eating, whenever there's diabetes or obesity, it's always someone, like, biting a hamburger.
Yeah.
You know, at a...
Do you think those people take it seriously? I can give you a better one. Can you just lumber again? Give us a better lumber. Can you lumber more convincingly?
Yes.
I don't know. Hey, that sounds...
I can dribble that lard a bit better if you want it.
I think that's our cue to talk about acting. And that's what we're going to do today as we climb Talkback Mountain. Because we have Wayne here, one of the nation's finest stage and screen actors.
One of the highest profile C-list actors in the country.
We have Ed, he's on the way up.
Ooh.
He's done a few things. He's in Boytown. Both of you are in Mick Molloy's new film, Boytown.
Yeah.
But, you know, I put out this book last year and one of the stories in it was about amateur theatre disasters that I've presided over, particularly when I miscued a tape so that when someone threw a vase through a door that was meant to smash, a doorbell went off and the reviews weren't kind. But yeah, have you guys, you know, been involved in theatre disasters?
yes, I have an extensive disaster portfolio behind me. I had the privilege of, when I first finished college, of joining a theatre for schools troupe.
Yes, right.
It was back in the late 80s when they still threw money at thinking we could help people with theatre.
Are we in leotard country, Wayne?
There wasn't leotards. It was a Toyota Hiace. I will say that much.
Right.
And there were four of us in there, two men, two women, who did it properly.
What were they called? Sparkle Magic? Was it one like that?
Meaning through movement?
I'm not going to say the name
of
the troupe.
Okay.
Please
no,
do.
To my co-theatre workers, because we weren't called actors, we were theatre workers.
Of course.
Which I think was just the way to get around the fact that they made us lug the set in.
Right.
So we were theatre workers, not actors. And on this particular occasion, we were coming to an inner city school, a rough one. It was the only first school I'd seen that was entirely concrete.
Right.
No oval or anything. Three stories high. And I was carting in this the set, as I was a theatre worker, and this brightly coloured panel that we would hide behind. And as I was walking in, one of the kids walked up and said, "Hey, mate, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm part of a theatre company, matey. We're here to show some theatre." And, "Oh, yeah, it looks shit." And I was so insecure at the time, I just thought, I think the best tactic is to agree with him. Go, yeah, I know.
He was the theatre critic for the school newspaper.
Yes. And so I continued on and lugged the theatre flat up the stairs to the room, walked in and the other male theatre worker was bailed up against the wall by a very large Mediterranean boy who had lifted him off... and was aggressively questioning his sexuality at that point.
The show hasn't even started yet.
It hasn't even started, no. And it was at this point that I did wonder how our musical on alcohol abuse was going to go.
And did it kill?
Oh, On the Rocks it was called. And I was a bit worried because especially the ballad in the middle where the mother in the piece sang... tenderly, "Just another sip, one more nip on the rocks." And at that point, a kid got up out of the audience and got up on stage. I say stage, but just a double classroom. Got up, walked up and kind of linked his arm around my head and waved as if he was at a concert, you know, waving back to his friends. And everyone just was so petrified that the other male actor just continued giving the lines. So kept doing the play whilst this kid had me in a headlock kind of waving, "Oi, Jono, look at this, mate, I'm up here."
And the kid had a few, you think?
Clearly. And the worst, I was looking at, where's the teachers? And they're way up the back, just with their head down correcting work, going, not having a bar of it. You bloody turned up. You deal with them.
Well, you've...
Wow.
That's early days, of course. You've come so far to that 1 minute five on the castle.
At least.
That is a theatrical disaster. And that's, you know, that's pretty standard practice out there in the schools, I hear.
That's a good day at the office.
I did a number of horrible productions at university. But the one I watched, they did Into the Woods musical. And there was a need for cows. So they thought, oh, we'll build some cows. So they built these quite impressive wooden cows. Like, they didn't have, you know, they just rolled on wheels. They looked like wooden cows, but, you know, it was okay. Anyway, at one point, for some reason, someone who was like an extra at the back who had to play, like, you know, Milk Maiden One, she was kind of mucking around with the cow, and then she was kind of standing at the back of the cow, and then the cow sort of started moving, and with her sort of still attached to it at the back. And after about 3 minutes of them singing and dancing at the front, they all slowly realized that somehow she got her head stuck in the cow's bum. And she couldn't get it out. So mid-song, the two leads had to stand on either side of this cow and pry it apart until she got her head out. And her head was all red. She was dizzy and she was staggering around the stage.
Very hard to work that into a song.
And isn't that Stephen Sondheim, Into the Woods?
Yes.
Into the... Yeah.
When Lisa McCune did it, did someone have their head up a cow's ass?
For most of it, yeah.
Well, that's the kind of thing we're looking for.
Yes. Because,
and you don't have to be a professional actor. No. Everyone's done a bit of Amdram. Everyone's done a bit of public speaking.
Yes.
Any kind of theatrical performance, a Stedford work where something went horribly wrong. That's what we want to hear about. Wayne Hope is here. He'll be judging. I say judging, there is no prize. But he's going to be judging anyway. Give us a call at Talkback Mountain. The number is 1-triple-3-5-3. You're not.
Wise Man by James Blunt.
Oh, thanks very much, Ian.
I got the name wrong too. Wise Men, sorry.
Don't worry.
What a pro.
Oh, that's that little all sound.
Certain irony in the title.
Yeah. When it goes to air, we'll fix that up. It's get this, it's Talkback Mountain. I've been helping Katie try and get some callers together. Theatrical disasters is what we're looking for. Things that have gone horribly wrong on stage. Wayne Hope, fine actor with a string of disasters behind him, is helping us out today. And I think on the line we have Paul. Are you with us, Paul?
Hi, team. How are you going?
Oh, not bad. Have you been involved in a debacle?
Yes, we have. We were doing West Side Story.
Oh, yeah, that's always a minefield.
Yeah, and we were doing the fight scene between the Sharks and the Jets at the end of the first act.
Was it brutally realistic?
Yeah, brutally, yeah.
They're scary, those Sharks.
Dancing and fighting go together well, I thought. But you'd say that at the end of the scene there's meant to be a police siren that we all stand up and run off to.
Yes.
And the sound guy queued up the wrong music, and he played the Mr. Whippy music instead.
Oh, fantastic. So it appeared as though the Sharks and the Jets were running off for ice cream.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty hard to look tough with a choc chip sprinkle.
That's right. Oh, that's
and did the play recover? You know, can you recover from something like that?
Well, you know, it encouraged them to buy chips and things in intermission, I guess.
Oh, well, yes,
that's
there you
right.
go.
Came from the sales department.
Happy
that's
ending. Right. Thanks very much, Paul. That's a beauty. But I think Luke might have one. Are you there, Luke? Are you with us?
Yeah, hey, Mick. How you going, guys?
Oh, you calling me Mick now? I still get people complaining about that Martin Malloy fellow.
Sorry.
And I have been called a lot worse.
I just grabbed on the end of your conversation. I got a classic for you.
Let's hear it.
1996, Friday the 13th, it was December, we had a work Christmas party, and the setup was basically hell and heaven. And on stage we had a coffin, which I was in for about 30 minutes before.
Hang on, this is like a play at a Christmas party?
We had a little bit of a skit beforehand, yeah. I was the Grim Reaper, and I was actually in the coffin. And anyway, I was struggling to breathe in there because basically we had the coffin on stage before everyone entered the room. And I was in there for about 10 minutes before everyone got in there, stupidly.
Yes.
And I was sweating and not basically couldn't breathe. I nearly passed out. I was lucky that I actually had the microphone in there and I could actually lift the coffin lid off and then get some air. But people are still talking about it today because it was quite frightening. I was scaring myself because I had this black cape on and a 13-knot noose around my neck and a big white, you know, Grim Reaper face mask on.
But obviously, if anything had gone horribly wrong, would have been a bit of a shortcut to the funeral. would have been saved a bit of time. Just as is, we'll be fine.
We'll do a Christmas party, then his farewell, back to back.
Why were you? What was the sketch about? Like, why were you dressed as the Grim Reaper?
Well, basically, being Friday the 13th, horror party and that, I just decided that was my costume for the night, and I thought, I got some props from Crawford Productions. And
there's mistakes all over the place, so I can see.
But just the sound guys had the shattered voice and stuff, and when I actually got up out of the coffin, I'd been breathing really heavily for a minute or two, then I bust the coffin open, and then opened up a blue book, which had talcum powder, and I just went, and this big, powder went across the stage and everyone just absolutely stopped dead from eating. It was quite funny.
Is that the last sketch you've done at the Christmas party?
Yeah, I think it will be.
Thanks, mate.
Catch ya.
Well, that's great. And, hang on to those props and costumes for when the IR laws really kick in. You need to be doing a bit of street theatre. I think we've got someone called Justin with us. You there, Justin?
Yeah, g'day, Tone. How are you?
Not too bad. Say hello to Wayne and Ed.
Hi. G'day, Wayne. G'day,
hey,
Ed.
Justin.
How you going?
You got a theatrical disaster for us?
Yeah, back when I was about 14 or so, I was doing I was in a drama group after school. And
what was it called?
The drama group.
Oh, sweet.
I think it was called Leela Hayes Drama Group. Anyway.
Right.
We got into a place where we could go up to Newcastle to do a show for a whole group of Rotarians.
Yes.
Now, we should have seen it coming a mile off. When we got there, the Rotarian groups all came and they were all dressed up. I remember there was one dressed up as dogs, but we were up on stage performing this show and all of a sudden we started seeing paper aeroplanes being thrown at us.
Oh, right. From the Rotarians?
Yeah, they'd all got drunk and turned their menus from their dinner into paper aeroplanes.
See, there's the key word, menus. when you're doing a theatrical production and people have got menus, that's really when you have to take a look at where your career's going. I think we've all done shows where meals have been included.
The words theatre, chicken and beef don't go together.
And what was the
that
production?
That was the last time we got to perform for them, so obviously they didn't like us very much.
And what was the play?
Yeah. It was some fairy thing or some...
just one thing, it's important to know who your audience are. Now, Rotarians, for my money, are mostly kind of, elderly, retired men.
Yeah.
Pitching a little fairy story to them. I'm not sure.
Yes.
It wasn't
bloody
our
fairies
idea.
On stage. Bloody fairies, let's get some planes happening.
There's enough of them in the media as it is.
Get rid of them.
That's right.
Here, cop this menu.
Well, that's a great raise. Thank you very much, Justin. Is that our last
one? No, one more. Cassandra in Brisbane. Are you there, Cassandra?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What have you got for us?
Well, I actually vomited on stage.
There you go. And it wasn't in the script?
No, it wasn't in the script. We were doing the 7-year itch. I was playing the girl's role. And, the Marilyn Monroe part.
What level was this? Was it school?
Oh, this is amateur theatre. This is,
Please tell me it wasn't when you're over the vent.
did the spew just drip unerotically down the vent and splatter below?
Close. I was, in the apartment. The worst part was, at the end of the scene, the poor bugger had to kiss me.
God.
And
Why were you sick? Was it just...
I must have had some... I'd had dodgy Chinese at lunchtime. And, being an actor in amateur theatre, the show must go on. I'm feeling a little bit queasy, but, it's okay. And here we go. And halfway through, the first act, because you can't get off the stage, I'm feeling like crap. And luckily I had a scarf around my neck, so I sort of pulled that off and hurled into the side of that. It was lovely.
Did people notice?
They did. But, you just...
Suck it in and keep going.
Fantastic.
And I might just kiss your hand, my lady.
Well, I showed him my cheek and everything, and he kissed me properly, and I thought, you're a braver man than I am. Wow. But anyway.
The problem is, though, the people love that, and then you've got to do it every night.
It's a review.
It's around.
Thanks, Cassandra.
Yeah, thank you, Cassandra.
I've got one more story which I've just remembered from last year's one of the reviews at university. The engineers always show up really drunk and kind of heckle the other reviews, yes. Which is fine if you know that that's what happens.
It's traditional.
It is. But if you're a parent that's just come to watch, you know, your child, their big break in the med review, you're not quite ready for the engineers to yell, show us your tits at them, right? So they started doing that. The engineers were heckling. And one of the dads of the med review students got up, walked over, punched one of the engineers out, and then got him thrown out of the theatre.
Wow.
Well, this dad, is dad, fourth wall. Dad. it's made up. Dad.
This is the kind of behaviour that's going to get people back to the theatre. Yeah. Vomiting, punched out students, and heads up cows' bums. Really, that's right. Who said theatre is dead? Thanks to everyone who took part. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Get this.
They are slothful and incompetent, and they should be made to answer for it.
The Census 1234 on Triple M.
Get this on Triple M. We'll boot it home in just a few moments with Wayne Hope. That's Paul Kelly, To Her Door, winding up. Get this at Triple M. Wayne Hope, actor Wayne Hope, has been sitting in today. And of course, Wayne's missus, Robin Butler, can be heard at midday on Tough Love.
That's right. We're going to do the changeover. She'll pass me the children and head in here and we'll swap it over and nice little tag team operation going. Actually, the children, we should get them involved. I might get the youngest starts on the cage on Monday.
Fantastic.
And our 10-year-old Molly's in negotiations with the shebang at the moment.
Oh, so. let's get everyone on here. Does Robin have anything for the Tough Love today? Do you know what she's working on? No idea? You're not allowed to talk about that?
No. It's a very serious regime. She gets up early and, no idea what she's talking about. And to the truth be told, neither does she, probably.
Okay. Just looking at the stories we haven't got around to. Berlusconi, has he won yet? Has the Italian Prime Minister?
No, last thing I read that he was ahead by 3%.
Ahead now?
But there was a 3% margin of error.
No,
right. Not in Italy.
No.
A 3% margin of error?
Well,
really?
The truth...
Well, it could go this way, it could go that way. I don't know. Okay.
There's a 3% margin of error in his extremely tight face. What's going on? That is the tightest facelift I've ever seen.
Look,
have you?
It's that crazy. Forehead.
Isn't he like over 70? Isn't that right?
68, I thought.
Oh, okay. Pardon me.
Sorry.
But it's as tight as a drum. And that cannot be his real hair colour.
No. He dyes it. Or someone dyes it for him.
He doesn't look like he's way out in front.
He looks younger than his own granddaughter. Look at that.
Who is that?
I think it is. Anyway, we don't know if he's won yet. We don't know if the testicles have spoken. To use his own, he's calling people who don't vote for him testicles.
But people were putting on bumper stickers and T-shirts. They were writing in Italian, "I'm a testicle and proud of it."
That'll catch on here. What about Ashley Simpson's luggage? Have you seen that? There is like seven.
What has she got to bring? Honestly?
About a million suitcases. A team of. Horses taking it.
Is that right?
through the airport. There's Egyptians just lugging her. Like, what would be in there?
Exactly.
The backing tapes, presumably. Ooh. Possibly.
Ooh.
The Pope. He's on tour. He's coming to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's the talk of will he come to Melbourne on his confessions tour. See, it's whether he can get that massive set, whether he can transport it. Molly's in negotiations, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, he'll do the stadium in Sydney, but he'll just do Rod Laver here.
Yeah. He's doing intimate venues as well.
Yeah.
Like he's playing the big places, and he's just playing like...
Back to his roots.
Exactly. Kind of,
doing his acoustic numbers.
Yeah.
He does a little set where he'll play with the local band. He'll be... I think he's doing a couple of secret gigs in Melbourne with Stinkfist.
I think it's the Pope out front of Parkway Drive in Sydney. The dropping kids.
And hello to everyone at Parkway Drive. We had some drunk blokes at a car place, a bit of Parkway Drive yesterday, Wayne. And
Parkway Drive.
They're great.
Don't confuse them with Driveway Park. They're nowhere as good. And let's just wrap things up with the sacking. Did we get to 100? We were trying to get 100 people sacked by the end of the show. How's the total go? Oh, that really hurts. If you're wearing headphones at home, is that going to be 100? We need to get to 100 to really save the economy. Well, that was 100.
Oh, we've done it.
Well done.
A note of triumph to wind up today here at Get This. Thanks to everyone who phoned in, everyone who took part. Wayne Hope, will you come back for more?
I will come back for a lot more.
Good. That's the way. We've got a lot more theatrical disasters we can get out of you, I'm sure. And I think today's key phrase was, I don't recall. Jam. We'll be back tomorrow with Dylan Moran. Come on. And it's all thanks to Census. 1, 2, 3, 4.